It's time now for this morning's scripture reading, taken from Proverbs 31, verses 10 to 31. Verse 10, a wife of noble character, who can find? She is worth far more than rubies. Her husband has full confidence in her and lacks nothing of value. She brings him good, not harm, all the days of her life. She selects wool and flax and works with eager hands. She is like the merchant ships, bringing her food from afar. She gets up while it is still night. She provides food for her family and portions for her female servants. She considers a field and buys it. Out of her earnings, she plants a vineyard. She sets about her work vigorously. Her arms are strong for her tasks. She sees that her trading is profitable, and her lamp does not go out at night. In her hand, she holds the distaff and grasps the spindle with her fingers. She opens her arms to the poor and extends her hands to the needy. And when it snows, she has no fear for her household, for all of them are clothed in scarlet. She makes coverings for her bed. She is clothed in fine linen and purple. Her husband is respected at the city gate, where he takes his seat among the elders of the land. She makes linen garments and sells them, and supplies the merchants with sashes. She is clothed with strength and dignity. She can laugh at the days to come. She speaks with wisdom, and faithful instruction is on her tongue. She watches over the affairs of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. Her children arise and call her blessed. Her husband also, and he praises her. Many women do noble things, but you surpass them all. Charm is deceptive and beauty is fleeting, but a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. Honor her for all that her hands have done, and let her works bring her praise at the city gate. We're very glad this morning to have Pastor Hannah with us, bringing us the sermon title, In Search of the Perfect Woman. Pastor.
Sorry, I've got to arrange this because the light bounces off the monitor and I have a hard time with this. Okay, first let me check this. Is it turned on? Oh, I hope it is. Okay, all right, good. Right, so good morning, everyone. It's just one more minute to the noontime. So everyone on site and online, I want to wish you all a happy Mother's Day, especially to the women, of course, to all the mothers here, and also the spiritual mothers of our children, our teens, and the young adults. Now, we have just read Proverbs 31, 10 to 31. It is a portrait of an amazing woman. Are her standards attainable? Now, how many of us women felt really inadequate when that was read? And how many men among us think that their wives must be exactly like this woman? I hear some giggles there. And what about the single ladies? Do you wonder, does it even apply to you? Since the main character is obviously a married woman with kids. Now, if you guys think today's sermon is just for you, for your mothers, or for your wives, or wives-to-be, and for the single ladies, you say, it doesn't apply to me, I would like to tell you that you won't be left out of this picture. So don't drift off into your daydreams. In the Bible, we have these broad categories of genres: law, narrative, poetry, prophecy, wisdom, gospels, epistles, and apocalypse. And of course, there's some overlap in among the books. Now, the wisdom literature of the Bible is found in Job, Psalms, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, and Song of Solomon. So when we approach Proverbs 31, we cannot read it in isolation. It is the final part of the book of Proverbs. It's called the Epilogue, which is a book that focuses on wisdom. Wisdom literature guides us in our everyday lives, and it is not a book of the law. It is not a do this and do that kind of thing. Now, Proverbs 1, 2 to 3 tells us the purpose of the book. The Proverbs of Solomon, son of David, king of Israel, for gaining wisdom and instruction, for understanding words of insight, for receiving instruction in prudent behavior, doing what is right and just and fair. So Proverbs is a book of instruction that one should learn from and would be wise to follow the guidance given. Now, to live life well and be a man or woman of wisdom, you should consider what is taught in Proverbs. Proverbs 1 to 7 spells out where we should begin with this kind of living. Wisdom, or right knowledge, springs from fearing God. And it tells us the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. Now, there's a contrast between the wise and the foolish. He who is wise is one who fears God, but the fool is one who hates good advice and instructions. So Solomon sets out the book of Proverbs on this foundation. Choose the path before you, be wise or be foolish. Now, what does it mean to fear God? It's a phrase that is found in many parts of the Bible. To fear God means that we treat God with reverence and respect. We don't take him lightly because he is the Lord Almighty, the one who created the heavens and the earth, the one who made us and the one who is sovereign. We don't take his word lightly. We carefully seek to know him and know what he wants us to do. And yet, in that fear is also the element of awe. Awe in his goodness, his love, his grace expressed in the cross. That God sent his son, we just sang about that, to die for us, to take on the punishment we so rightly deserve for our sins. So the fear of the Lord should propel us into a deep respect for him and an overwhelming sense of wonder of his entrance into our lives. And by fearing God, we learn wisdom. We will have the practical means for our day-to-day living, and we have the guide for a life considered well-lived. As a manual for life, Proverbs is written for easy memorization. Now, many of you will be able to quote me parts of Proverbs right off the top of your head, because the teachings are meant to be stored up in your heart to be your guide. Proverbs is not the writings of just one author. Several contributors are stated in the book, but we tend to think of King Solomon as one of these contributors. So we come to Proverbs 31 and we find a King Lemuel. The sayings of King Lemuel and inspired utterance his mother taught him. So Proverbs 31 is actually written by King Lemuel. And so most scholars and traditions, they wonder, who is this guy? Well, they think that he's actually Solomon. So it's like a nickname for him. So whoever Lemuel is, we should note that Proverbs 31 is a mother's instruction to her son to live wisely as a king and to choose a good wife. Now, I hope by now you realize that my sermon title is tongue-in-cheek. You can search forever for the perfect woman because she does not exist. And neither is there a perfect man. So my husband and I always joke that we have perfect understanding. He's perfect and I'm understanding. Proverbs 31 is written as an acrostic poem. Now, an acrostic poem follows a pattern with the intention of being in a specific order or to spell out something. For example, you might want to write your mother a poem where every letter of the at the start begins with the letters. I'm so sorry, I pressed the wrong button. Where every letter at the start spells out the words mother. Mummy, we are so grateful for you. All the things you do that we take for granted. The earliest to rise and the last to sleep. How you care is so seamless and quiet. Excellent marks your character and work. Rich is your legacy of love and devotion. And now if you need to give this to your mom today, you are desperate for a gift, go ahead. But the royalty goes to me. In the case of Proverbs 31, it follows the Hebrew alphabet. So it consists of 22 letters in the Hebrew alphabet. So verse 10 begins with Aleph, the first letter of the Hebrew alphabet. And the final verse, verse 31, wraps it up with the final letter of the Hebrew alphabet, Tau. You can say this poem is like the A to Z of finding a good wife. Now let's have a closer look at the poem, and I will not read out the verses again as there are so many. But first of all, let's realize something. This woman is of great worth. The word noble, or in some other translations, is excellent. And its original meaning in the Hebrew is hayil, a word that denotes strength and valor. In Hebrew, this word is actually used in military contexts. So the kind of wife who is desirable is one who is strong and courageous. There's nothing weak or wimpy about her. Being feminine does not mean you are a doormat. Now this is a rhetorical question. It's asked to make a point. It's not seeking an answer. The point of it is that such a wife of noble character is priceless. Her worth is far beyond anything measurable. And next, she's also seen as trustworthy. The husband can leave matters in her hands and know that she will handle them well. The man who marries such a woman can trust her and has found her to be a treasure. She's a blessing to him and she does no evil. And then what follows is a whole list of things that she does. She's super hardworking. We learn that she is so industrious. The things she does is amazing. She creates textiles for her use. Who needs a factory when you have someone like that, right? And she provides food. She provides both for her family and for the team of servants in the house. Her skills go beyond the home. She can get a good piece of land and grows crops, which can be eaten or made into wine. That's a lot of work, you know. I plant edible plants at my corridor, but mine are in small pots. She then, unsurprisingly, she's very strong. Because of her hard work, she has physical strength to do household chores and farming. Now we find that she does trading. Two, she reaps profits in her trading. Again, we come back to her ability to make cloths that are useful. And not only that, she is a wonderful woman and a wife, but she also has time and energy to help the marginalized. She's not stingy, but she gives willingly. The clothing she has prepared for the family is needed for the cold winter. So this woman is all ready for whatever the season brings. And here we see that she has other business opportunities. She sells clothes and sashes. Again, we come to another reference to her strength, but this time we are told that she is dignified and confident. She does not worry about the future because she has worked hard to ensure things are in order. And she is someone we would have loved to speak to because she is wise and she gives helpful counsel to others. Then there's this summary of all her activities. She manages her household well and is not a woman given over to wasting her time. Yes, we have already seen that from the preceding verses. So from verses 13 to 22, 24 to 27, we see this woman is busy, busy, busy. I had a bit of a shock when I read it the first time as a teen. Does she even sleep? She's a superwoman. Essentially, she ensures her household is well taken care of. Everyone is fed and clothed, whether in summer or winter. So she keeps herself physically strong. And she works really hard to ensure that her household, her children, her husband are in good hands, and her team of servants are taken care of too. And her work extends beyond the domestic realm. As we say, she's buying and selling. She owns land. She's a very shrewd businesswoman. Now, because she's such an excellent wife, she earns praise from the family. Her character and what she has done has elicited the warmest of praise from her husband and children. They bless her with their praise because she has blessed them with her love, care, and wisdom. But what is the secret to this woman's success? Verse 30 points out that her secret lies in the fear of the Lord. Now, this brings us back to what was said earlier. The purpose of Proverbs is to instill in the learner how to live wisely. And what is the foundation of wise living? The fear of the Lord. This woman's beauty lies not on the outward. One's physical beauty or charming manners can actually mask the ugliness inside a person. But what builds a lasting and powerful foundation for the right way of life before God is to fear Him. Now, this poem, as I said earlier, is written in an acrostic style. But more than that, it is also a chiasmus. I don't mean to throw fancy labels at you today, but I think it helps you if I show you what it means. So I need to illustrate in a more concrete way the structure of the poem. Now look at my hand. You see it's a curve, right? So if you look at the poem carefully, you will find that it follows a pattern like this. I'm not referring to the alphabetical A to Z thing, okay? Now it's something different. So I'm referring now to the topics raised within the poem. So it's like a A, B, C, D, E, F, G, and then H right here, and then it goes A, B, C, D, E, F, G, and then you land at H here. Okay, does that make sense? So it's mirroring effect. And right smack in the center is verse 23, which I skipped over earlier. So it looks rather odd, like an intrusion, because the focus suddenly switches to the husband. I'm sorry, it's a little bit small, but it's an image I grabbed from online. So the verse goes, her husband is respected at the city gate, where he takes his seat among the elders of the land. So other than what's stated in verse 1, that King Lemuel was repeating what his mother taught him, this central focus at verse 23 gives the clue to us that the original intended audience was not young women. What a huge sigh of relief. This does not mean that the poem cannot be used to instruct women, but we should recognize its primary objective. It is addressed to young men. It's like saying, hey guys, listen up. You want a wife? This is the kind of wife you should get. You should get a wife who brings you honor and respect. She's not one who shames you. In other words, you will thrive and be successful when you have such a wife. A well-chosen wife will be your crowning glory. So the central focus at verse 23 is also likely an allusion to Proverbs 12:4. A wife of noble character is her husband's crown. Let me now turn your attention to the more cultural aspects that we should consider, given that this poem was written thousands of years ago. First of all, let me now try to help you move away from any feeling of inadequacy when you read Proverbs 31. And I quote Kostenberger. Rather than viewing these qualities as existing in a woman all at one time, depicting a day in the life of the ideal woman, one may view these attributes as having developed over a period of time and as being exhibited in a woman's life during different occasions and seasons of life. So her skill sets are built up as she matures into her role as a wife. And for this reason, all of us, whether men or women, should remember that we have to keep learning and become more and more skilled and proficient in the things we do, whether at home or in the working world. We also should bear in mind that in ancient times, family life was very much centered on the extended family. Grandparents, siblings, aunts, and uncles would be living near one another, if not under the same roof. There was plenty of help. Also, if you have not already noticed, please note that she is a woman of means. Now, some of us might have one domestic helper at home, but apparently she has servants. Furthermore, in ancient times, buying and selling are usually within the neighborhood. The merchants come to town to sell. Or your neighbors might have a goat or a lamb to offer you, and then you offer them fruit and vegetables that you grow. So the family structures and the economic structure of those days are very different from our modern times. Right now, we have nuclear families, which gives us little access to communal support. So let me now turn my attention to the women in this hall and online. Many of you are mums, working mums or stay-at-home mums. Some of you are married without kids, and some are single ladies working a full-time job, but you have elderly parents to care for. I'm sure many of you are like me. I have to juggle the responsibilities of work and home. My kids are now grown up and currently not living with us. So I have a lot less to think about. But for many of you here, you still have fairly young children who are dependent on you. In late 2012 to mid-2013, I was serving in the missions department full-time and holding another job at a mission agency. At one stage, I had a lot of work to finish. I reached home quite late and was too tired and too rushed to cope. My husband was also busy. He was in the same kind of situation like me. And so even though he loved to cook, he had no time to do so. So I felt really guilty that period because we had to tapao dinner every day. So my kids were also left unsupervised at home in the afternoon. Good thing they didn't burn the house down. Now, if at that stage I had read this poem again and think how far I have fallen short, I would be so miserable, not just guilty. So how do we handle expectations that are placed on us, whether they are expectations from yourself or from other people? We look to Christ. He is the perfect Son of Man who alone can cover our lack. Our responsibility isn't to become a superwoman or a superman. We are made of flesh and blood with limits. We rest in His goodness and acceptance. His finished work on the cross has redeemed us. You are loved by God and being made perfect as you yield yourself to Him. When we are close to God, we will learn from Him what are the important priorities at any given time. As a young adult, I spent a few years working in a ministry called the Navigators. In that time, I visited the National Director's home a few times. Now, the wife of the National Director was a warm and joyful lady who chose to be a stay-at-home mom. Now, most people assume that a woman who is not working outside would have a very neat and tidy home. But not her home. It was what I'll call a happy mess. It was not dirty, just messy. She explained her philosophy of home care to me. Her 24 hours are just that, 24 hours, and she has to sleep, right? She had two active boys and ministered to other women. She said that getting the home in tip-top shape was not a priority. She had to choose between her time with God, husband, kids, and ministry on one hand, and housework on the other. Keeping her home spick and span would mean expending her energy there and not being able to give time to what she considered as important matters. And it's the same for us. What are we living for? What are non-negotiables? We need to think this through. For many women today, the pressure is very real. I was reading a series of reports called Woman Up on Today Online. In it, it revealed a study that was released And it found that close to 9 in 10 respondents agree that husband and wife should share household chores equally. But the study found that more women take on the daily responsibilities of cleaning and laundry. Now, I don't have to tell you, Singapore being so humid, you do have to wash your clothes a lot. And these tasks require daily attention, while men take on tasks such as household repairs and management of tech devices, which you don't have to do that every day, right? So while some men do share the burden of housework equally, the women say that despite that, they have what they have to deal with worry work. And experts have coined this as mental load. Now, what do we mean? 8 of the 10 women said that they are the ones keeping track of administrative household tasks like booking medical appointments or planning family gatherings. So this is where I need you guys to listen up. Now, put your hands to the plow alongside your wife. Consider your wife's physical limits and needs in juggling a job and the household chores, especially for those women who work full-time outside. Share the load much more. Those who are planning to get married, please make a note of it for your future plans. I'm also concerned that the burden of caring for the elderly tend to fall on the shoulders of daughters, especially those who are single. And really, when it comes to that kind of situation, when you have to look after your sick elderly parents, you are playing the role of a mother. So if you find yourself in that position and you're feeling strained, please do not hesitate to find solutions that can help you lessen the burden. Whether the lessening of the burden means actual physical load or emotional load, I encourage you to seek it out. From 2006 to 2008, while my kids were in primary school, I was mentally and emotionally exhausted from caring for my elderly parents. We had just returned from 2 years of overseas work, but both my parents were chronically ill. So even though they had a capable domestic helper, it was safer to have them move in with us into our 4-room flat. If you are in this kind of sandwich generation, it is a heavy load to bear. So please, don't keep silent if you need help. Even if it's just to have a friend to unload, a burden shared is a burden halved as you commit the burden to a trusted friend and to God. There are also some of us who struggle with psychological, neurological, or physiological conditions that are hidden. For example, ADHD. ADHD has a spectrum. There's the tiger type, you know, tiger, the jumpy tiger in Winnie the Pooh, and there's the Winnie the Pooh type. I'm now dealing with 2 Winnie the Poohs in my life. So people who are the Winnie the Pooh type, it's not obvious that they have ADHD. But people who have ADHD experience anxiety, depression, and have a much harder time organizing their lives. Some of you might also be young mums who are going through postpartum depression. I went through that after the birth of my first child. Now, these are mental health issues that we don't talk about much in church. But let's be open to share, to understand, and to encourage someone, and to pray together. Before going to the cross, Jesus said, "A new command I give you, love one another as I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another." And let me remind you, love is not about liking. Love is an action verb. Our lives are made up of seasons, as Kostenberger reminded us earlier. All of us here are at different seasons of life. But whatever season you may be in, whatever your gender, God must come first. How do we grow in our fear of the Lord, like the woman described in the poem? We must recognize who God really is. A healthy fear of God is needed in order to grow spiritually. I'd encourage you to get to know God more through His Word and through prayer. Interact with others in church over the Word so that your mind is sharpened and saturated with godly wisdom. We must heed the words of Proverbs. May God's love be what binds us, this community here, this body of Christ. We should honor one another and praise one another, just like the husband and the children praise the woman, so that we may run this race together, more united, more focused, more energized, in spite of any personal challenges that you might face. Husbands, please don't stinge on your praise and thankfulness for your wives. Praise her and thank her every day. And wives, do the same for your husbands. Gracious and loving words will make a huge difference to anyone's sense of well-being and help them see the light of Christ in you. So in that spirit of thanksgiving and celebration, I would like you now to do something. I have a sample here of appreciation and blessing. And it says, thank you for all you have done in the service of the Lord. May you grow in the fear of the Lord, in wisdom and in love. So now I'd like to ask all the women to stand up, whether you are mother or spiritual mother, it doesn't matter, just stand up, all the women. Just get you out of your seats, you know. Not good to sit for so long. Okay, and so thank you so much for what you have done for our kids, for your own kids. I want to thank especially some of those moms who had, or grandmas now, who had looked after my kids when they were very young. Now I want the men in the congregation to go shake their hands, and you can follow that that thing up there if you like, but if you can have your own words. Of course, if it's your wife, go ahead and hug her. Nobody's going to judge you for it. So, but just shake hands with one of the ladies around you and say thank you to her for what she has done. Go ahead, men. There are also ladies serving in the sound room. Please remember to thank them later. Okay, that was quick but enthusiastic. That's good. Let us go to the Lord in prayer. Lord God, we thank you for the mothers and the spiritual mothers in our lives. We ask that you will bless them with joy as they serve others. All of us, men or women, need you to show us how to live rightly before you in the fear of the Lord. We want to be more and more Christ-like, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.